Wonderful thing to start the day, the Torah way. And I mean, you start the day and then you continue the Torah way the whole entire day. I was asked for a topic title, and I said taking yourself out of Mitzrayim. And I wonder if you were thinking, what in the world does that mean? I'll try to explain, and what it means being in Mitzrayim. First, we'll talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim began really with Makas Dam. Now, what is the purpose of Makas Dam? Makas Dam is mentioned in Parshas Shmos, and it's repeated again in Parshas Va'era. In both places, Rashi tells us that the reason the Kodesh Baruch Hu started the Makas with Makas Dam is because the Egyptians worshipped Hanilus Hamechaye Oisam. The Nile River was the source of sustenance of Egypt. There's no rainfall in Egypt, and the Nile overflows, and all of the food, the life, the sustenance of Egypt, Hanilus Hamechaye Oisam was their god. It was their. Now, Egyptians had many gods, as archaeologists have dug up. So why start, and why put your finger? Hashem put his finger on this god, the major, V'chol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim Ani Hashem, the major god that I'm going to destroy is the god called Parnasa. Hanilus Hamachai Oisam. Now this god is not just peculiar to the Egyptians. It might be some other nations worship this god as well. It might even be some Jews might worship this god called Parnasa. And that might be a Mitzrayim, where people think that they are bound to it. Now, let me give you an example of a Mitzrayim, right? Medrash tells us an interesting story in Parshas Shmos when they started. Let us start off with the Jews. Paro said, "How can we start off with the Jews? They saved our lives. If not for Yosef, we would have been dead. You can't start off with the Jews." So what they did, the board of directors of Egypt fired him. So Paro, you don't follow our orders, you're fired. So Paro goes home to the palace, tells his wife, I don't know what her name was, pack up, we have to leave. Why have to leave? I was fired. Where are we going to go? We have to find an apartment somewhere. What are you going to do for a living? I don't really know. I'm unskilled. Other things are Paro, I don't know either. Maybe I'll drive a rickshaw on my phone. I don't know what I'm going to do. But what's with our living standards? What's with our steak and caviar and champagne? No more some pita bread and maybe I don't know what. And then he went home, they went to an apartment, and they got on each other's nerves, going crazy, can imagine. And finally after 3 months he comes back very humbled. He comes back to the board of directors, Chol asher toimru elai eseh, whatever you tell me I will do. Hey, well, Pyro, what happened to your beautiful speech 3 months ago? So how could you do that? Can't tell the truth. The answer is Parnasa. I have no choice. I have no choice. Did you ever hear those words? I have no choice. Parnasa dictates it. Parnasa demands it. That's called Mitzrayim. Where a person, Mitzrayim, Arizal says Mitzrayim means Mitzarim. A person feels in a vice. He can't get out. I have no choice. There's a story with Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker, in the town of Brisker, was a ganef. And Reb Chaim called them over and wanted to, you know, Yankel is a ganef, and he called them over and says, Yankel, is that what kind of a job is that? Yankel, a ganef, so Yankel, a job like any other job, you know, there's tailors and shoemakers, I'm a ganef, you know. Parnasa, Rebbe, you know how it goes. So then Reb Chaim just asked him, tell me, Yankel, do you work on Friday night as well? He says, well, first, you know, I'm in shul, you see me in shul every Friday night, and I go home, and I go to the Shabbat and Zemiris and different tailors, and then I go out to work. Big night, Friday night, big night. Tell me, Yankel, you go to a place and there's no lights, you can't find the jewelry. Rebbe, I'm ashamed to say I put a light on. Yankel, the Shabbat! Time goes, everybody, you know? Yankel, do you do goyim as well? I said, why, of course I can't rob my neighbor in shul. Of course the goyim. So let's say you have to go away on vacation and you have a whole night's work to pick out. And you're getting hungry and go to the fridge and there's ham. Maybe you're hushing me. I eat the most God kosher there is. I'm the most firmest there is. Maybe what are you asking me? So Yankel, you don't know that Chil Shabbos is much worse than eating Chazer? He says, Rebbe doesn't understand the difference between the two of them. Shabbos is parnas. I have no choice. Chazer choli levechaz. I'm such a frumi yid. There was a yid who went to the Chafetz Chaim. And I don't know what business he was in. You'll decide which business. It could be almost any business. I used to think it was used car salesman. Then I get a little more knowledgeable of the world, and it could be any business. He comes to the Chafetz Chaim. He chose the Chafetz Chaim of all people. He comes to the Chafetz Chaim. He had a guilty conscience. He said, "In my business, we have to a little gneiva das, a little sheker, a little." You know how it is. You know how business is. Can't tell the whole truth if you wouldn't sell anything, and we buy it. You have to fool and you have to cheat a little bit here and there. But that's all right, Rebbe, isn't it? Because it's Pinos, and isn't that all right, Rebbe? Here's the whole time. He was so certain that he's going to have to for it. Of course, you know, you can't do it otherwise. So the whole time says, now let me try to understand what you're trying to convince me. You're trying to convince me. First of all, let me ask you a question. You're asking me a question, let me ask you a question. Who gives Pinos to them yid? He said, Rebbe, what are you asking me such a? My child knows the answer to that. The Eibishter gives Pinos. The Eibishter gives Pinos. So we say in Berachas Hamazon. I say three times a day, I eat bread and I make a Berachas Hamazon. Who knows you say Lechem Lechol Basar? He gives Pinos. Oh. Aha, so you know the answer to that question. Okay, this fine with that. Because I know the answer to that question. So let me try to understand what you're trying to convince me. You're trying to convince me that the Ribbono Shel Olam who gives Parnosa, who hates Sheker, and who hates Gezel, he can't give you Parnosa unless you rob and cheat, steal and lie. And if you're honest, he'll penalize you and not give you Parnosa. Is that what you're trying to convince me? Somehow, it doesn't simply ring correctly. The minute you take in consideration that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives Parnasa, he's not going to penalize you if you're an honest kid. There's a story in Chovas HaLevavos. I love this story. So why do I love this story? Because you can understand, you hear the story. There was two yidden in the city. There was one a big veer and one a pauper. The big veer, he had this on his wristwatch. He had every incident from the stock market, what's going on. And he has this and he has that. And he was a very nervous person. Irritable. I'm nervous. I'm worried. And the poor guy was a Ben Terra, Maimin Bashem, happy, walking around happy. And this so happened that they bumped into each other. And here the angry, irritable, rich Kavir sees this poor guy walking around, smiley, singing, happy. He says, "This is not fair! This is not fair! That's the way it should be. I'm the Kavir, I'm the rich person. I should walk around happy, smiling. And you're the poor, but you have nothing for tomorrow. You should be walking around, you know." So the poor person tells the Gvir, he says, "It's exactly the way it is. I'm the lucky one and you're the poor unfortunate one." "What do you mean? What are you talking about? I got millions." He said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, you poor soul, Kadosh Baruch Hu appointed you caretaker of millions that you'll never spend. Other people are going to get it. Could be when you die, your wife is going to marry your worst enemy and spend your hard-earned money. And you're going to sleep at night worrying about what's with your millions. Will it be robbed? Will the stock market go down? And it's not even your money. You'll never even spend it. I, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, saved me from all of that. Other people are watching over my money. Kodesh Baruch Hu saved me from the need to watch my money and look at the stock results. That's what I'm going to say this moment. And whatever I need, he makes sure I get every single day. I have no idea where it's going to come from tomorrow, but umaspiya lechol chayav vatshay. Hashem opens his hands and feeds me. He fed me every day. He fed me yesterday. He feeds me today. He'll feed me tomorrow. I have no worries. So you can't compare the lot of my lot and your lot. I'm the lucky person. Does have a worry on my mind. You poor soul have to worry about all those millions that you'll never spend. Bill Gates is worth, I think, at last estimate, $70 billion. And the paper said that's as much money as in the whole Holland and Sweden together. In other words, if they were for sale, he could buy Holland and Sweden. Don't think they're for sale, but he could buy them out of the whole country. Now, what's Bill Gates going to do with all of that money? 70, that's his own money, that's Microsoft, that's his own money. 70, that's approximately, I don't know, maybe it changes, maybe after that monopoly ability, I don't know exactly where it is, maybe 60 billion, you know, forgive me. What's he going to do with all the money? Let's say Bill Gates all of a sudden decides to retire. And he's going to, okay, we're now going to enjoy life. We're going to enjoy life. Now we're going to go spend the $70 billion. I don't want to leave that. I want to use up the whole money myself. So he has two choices. He can go to Las Vegas and lose it in one day. It's not hard. Or, okay. That's the possibility is there. But the odds are more likely, like I said, to lose it. Or if he doesn't go to Las Vegas or Monte Carlo or wherever else there is, and he'll show him how to spend it. What's he going to do with it? Although he'll never do that. I don't think he'll ever retire. Now, I was told a story that happened, has something to do with Great Britain. I was told a story. I tell people who are at crossroads what to do with their lives and how much learning, how much longer to stay and learn Torah or whatever it is, because whatever. Well, you know, I tell people that learning Torah gives the greatest satisfaction in the world, and the person that learns Torah is happier than Bill Gates. I gave this at a modern Orthodox high school, and one of the boys said, "Rabbi, I don't buy that because I think $70 billion can buy a lot of happiness." So there's a teacher there, and he said, "Rabbi, can I answer that for you?" He said, "Yes." Well, there was this is like, I'm not sure exactly when it was. You probably know better than me because you're here in England. There was a meeting of economic leaders of the world, and Tony Blair was there, and the reporter from obviously the opposition party, they went to Tony Blair where he was sitting, and there was a piece of paper that he doodled on, and he took it to a graphologist, and they went to the graphologist to study the person, and the graphologist said, "This person is severely disturbed and distressed and depressed." Severely disturbed and depressed. So the opposition papers were very happy about that. Our prime minister, as if they didn't know before, is severely disturbed and depressed. Okay, severely disturbed and depressed. Tony Blair said, "I'm sorry, people, that wasn't me. I that was in my paper with my neighbors." He didn't want to divulge who his neighbor was. It wasn't hard to divulge because everything's videoed. So they just took a look, and who was his neighbor? None other than our friend Bill Gates. And that was his, and he agreed. Yes, that was his. Severely disturbed and depressed. $70 billion worth of disturbed and depressed. It's a lot of disturbed and depressed. $70 billion worth. What gives a person simcha in this world? Is it money? Is the only source of money parnasa? Must you do for parnasa what you think you must do because parnasa dictates it, like Yankel or the Ganev, or the person who went to the Chavetz Chaim and said, "I must." Remember, you know that's the way business is, a little cheating, a little lying, a little gneva. You know that's the way it is, Rebbe. Now, that's called a Mitzrayim. It's Mitzrayim if a person thinks his only key to happiness is money. It's Mitzrayim if a person thinks that parnasa, his job, is the only way to get it. It's Mitzrayim if a person thinks that he must do all of these things that everybody else does. It's a mental Mitzrayim. It's a mental mitzrayim. A person in his mind has to do it. He's forced. When he's in a rat race, and it causes him untold grief, it's a mitzrayim. And that's the mitzrayim, that's the god that Hashem detests more than all other gods. And that's why Ubuchol Elohim Mitzrayim Es Heshvatim, and all the gods of Egypt, and the major one, the only one that we really know that he smote, was the Nilus Hamechaye Oisam VeHafchoi LeDam. If you worship your source of Parnasa, then to you it's blood and death. Because God made a world. He made a world. Because of Adam Rishon, we have a klola, mizeyat apecha toichal lechem. You have to make ishtadlus for parnasa. Understood. Fine. How much ishtadlus must you make, and what's called ishtadlus? So the Mishnah tells us very clearly, the Mishnah pei beizam and aleph and kiddushin, that meyo emeh, ilame ozam is benoy umnis nekiyo the kala. A person should teach his son a profession that's lucky and easy. Shelo ashirus min ha'umnis, shelo anius min ha'umnis. Because your choice of an umnis is not going to decide how much money you're going to earn. Hakol lefi zchusoy. Now, we have a choice of believing the Mishnah or not believing the Mishnah and becoming a kaper. That's a choice we have. But it's one or the other. If I want to believe the Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us very clearly, Shelo Ashiris Min Umnis, choose an Umnis Nikiyo V'Kala. Now what does Noki mean? Noki means clean. What does it mean, clean? Now does that mean, in America, I don't know what they call them over here, America, a garage mechanic is pretty dirty. But you know what? It's a clean Umnis. It's clean. He gets a little dirty. His hands dirty. But it's clean. Unless he cheats the client, but if he's an honest garage mechanic, then it's a clean umnis. Other umnis may not be so clean. Noki from, I'm afraid to say, but Noki means from Gezel, Sheker, Gnevis Das, Bili Arayas, in any form or fashion, Nivopeh, Lashon Hara. Nothing. Now, wait a second. Is there anything left I can use, I can work at? Is there anything left? So then what can I do? Well, it all depends whether you believe the Mishnah or you don't believe the Mishnah. Shelo ashiris min ha'umnis, shelo anius min ha'umnis, ha'kol lefi zchusoy. Whatever your zchus is, you will get. Now, wait a second. We can't argue that doctors, you know, are a big factor. Big surgeons make a lot of money. And the shoemaker doesn't make all that much money. So how could you say that, the Mishnah? The problem with Emunah in this Mishnah, we have a problem in believing our Mishnah that's so open and clear. So let's go to Mon, Pashas HaMon. The Shulchan Aruch brings down, Tzorech Lemar Kol Yoyim Pashas HaMon. Says the Mishnah Berurah, because what happened by Mon, you have to read it every day to remind yourself how Parnasa works. And Parnasa works like the Mon. Hamar Belahir Bevamamit Lehimit. The Mon. What happens? Let's say you have a very greedy person, and he was told, just take what you need. Take what you need. But he is greedy, because all the Mon is there to be taken. You can take as much as you want. He says, well, I'm going to just take it. He gets a whole truck and fills up a truck full of mon. He needs exactly 10. He has 8 children. He needs him and his wife. And he needs 10 portions of mon. He gets 10,000 portions of mon. A truck full of mon. He comes home to unload the truck into the storehouse. And the 10,000 portions of mon has dwindled down to 10. Because when it comes to put into your mouth, you can gather 10,000. That's what the Torah says. You can have it. You're not going to eat it. So then, he not only doesn't he have it, But he said, in vain did I toil for 9,990 portions that I didn't even get to eat, because they dissipated on the way to my mouth. And that's how it works in this world as well. Because the Rebbe gives you what was written down for you on Rosh Hashanah. We have a choice of believing that or not. And you can gather a lot more than that. By the time it's supposed to come down to you, it gets lost. It can get lost in the stock market. It can get lost with medical expenses. It can get lost by having thefts. It can get lost in many manner and fashion. Because Hashem who runs the world, he knows how to take away that 9,990 portions of man that the person wasn't supposed to get. He enabled him to gather all that man, and then he took it away from him. So you can gather as much as you want, but when it comes to put it into your mouth, you're only going to get what you're supposed to get. Again, we could either believe it or not, which will decide if we're ma'aminim or kafirim. I'm sorry to make something so blunt and simple, but that's my way of, you know, I learned from Reb Chaskel Levenstein, who made emunah very clear and simple. Chavos Avodah tell the story. Now, what's with panels? What's with jobs? What's with this? What's with that? Does anybody here say, well, I don't know then. I don't know if I'm my image shining. What's with my job that I have today? What's with that? And what's with everything else? What am I, all the things I'm doing, are they all so clean? Is the Kodesh Baruch Hu really happy with them? Chavos Avodah tells another story, an amazing story, and I've seen this over and over again in my own life. And I give it to Talmidim, and they've seen it as well. The Rebbe in Shah HaBitachman tells the story. Somebody is going. He was told that there's water. There's water on the journey. Don't worry. You're going to go in the desert. You're going to find water before you start. You're not going to starve to death. You're not going to die from thirst. There's water. Okay. He's coming and getting thirsty, and he is a little bit doubtful whether there's water. I haven't seen any water. I'm really thirsty. And then he comes upon water, that salt water, a source of salt water. Is this what they meant when they said there's water? I shouldn't worry, thirst, salt water. But he didn't believe them that there's anything else. All he saw in front of him was salt water. And then on the horizon he saw no other water. So the poor guy, he goes and drinks the salt water because he gets very sick. But you know, at least he's not going to dry out. He's very sick, and this fills it up with salt water. And then he walks another 10 minutes, and there's clear, fresh water. And then he feels so bad, and I can't even drink anymore. And he has a bad taste in his mouth, and he's all sick from the salty water. Says the Chayvas Halavavos, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives everybody. The Kodesh Baruch Hu feeds everybody. Certainly feeds Yidden that are Maimon and him and David, he certainly feeds them. And for every Yid, he prepares sweet water to feed them with. A lot of Jews don't believe it. Sometimes Jews think they have no choice but to drink salt water. Because they're not Maimon. Because they're only Maimon in what the eye sees. They're not Maimon that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has many ways to feed a Jew. And the way that the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to feed you is clear, sweet water. Nikiya Bakala. Free of anything that is the slightest infraction of the Deraisa or the Rabbanan or even a Midah Teva. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu loves Yidden that believe in him and trust in him. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves Yidden that are willing to sacrifice for his Torah. He'll never penalize a person who gives up something for Yiddishkeit. He will pay him handsomely on next Rosh Hashanah when a person for the sake of Yiddishkeit gives up something. No, I won't do that. It's not honest. It's not ethical. Is that also important? Ethical? It's the Aleph Bay. It's more It's probably more than anything else. It's not ethical either. Well, if I was looking at what's ethical, I would have no job left. So maybe it's time to change jobs. Or did you try to be ethical? It all depends on where parnasa comes from. Hanilus habechaya oisam, if you are bound to the Nile, or who knows lechem l'chol basar. I was zeichet to sit 5 years at the feet of Reb Chaskel Levenstein, and he gave many, many shmuzim. And sometimes all you do is take out a sitter and read Berchas Hamozai. Hazon es ha'olam kulay v'tuvay v'chein v'chesed v'rachamim. A whole shmuz of reading the first racha of Berchas Hamozai. And since Reb Chaskel Levenstein was known to be a mayim, and he really believed in Hashem. And Zorim sh'yoytzim en alev nechnosim en alev. For 5 years I was able to see that, to hear that, and Mamela to believe it. This is takes you out of Mitzrayim. So you have to make a cheshbon ha'nefesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't like Yidden to be in Mitzrayim. He sent Moshe Rabbeinu to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and destroy that God called Parnasa. Kodesh Baruch Hu should bench all of us. We should break our own shackles. Latch on to the source of Parnasa. I once had a father debate with a father. Father came to take his son out of the yeshiva after 2 years. He says he has to go to the college rabbi. You don't know that the college, without the college, you can't have the Parnasa. I saw that this person was a greenhorn. I'm sure he didn't go to the college. I said, Reb Yid, and he was a multimillionaire. Reb Yid, did you go to the college? He said, I couldn't go to the college, the ward, the bechuma. I went to the toy grade. You have the parnusa? He said, I had the parnusa. How did you get the parnusa from the toy grade without the college? He said, the Rebbeinu Shalom gave me. I said, the Rebbeinu Shalom retired? He can't give your son anymore? Your son needs the college? Rebbeinu Shalom takes all out of the triumph and help all of us take the rest of the Bnei Yisrael out of the triumph.
Oh my God.
What's your opinion?